'Twas the night before Jesus, when all through the earth every creature was stirring for a new baby's birth. Words from the night before Jesus, Concordia Publishing House's new Christmas book. The night before Jesus would make a great Christmas gift for children, grandchildren, and godchildren ages 3 through 5. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December, The Night Before Jesus. We continue to get news and updates on the tragic killing of missionary John Allen Chow. He was killed in a remote area in India. Some are calling it foolhardy, arrogant. And even the happy atheist is saying that this young man shouldn't have been living out the Great Commission. How do we understand both the opportunities and the real risks that are often associated with foreign mission work? In light of that story, we're going to be talking about those opportunities and risks. Pastor Daniel McMiller joins us this afternoon. He's Executive Director of International Mission for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pastor McMiller, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd.
First of all, what's your reaction to the story of the recently slain missionary John Allen Chow?
Well, it was great shock and sorrow. We certainly fear for the loss of life among our missionaries throughout the world, many of whom do serve in dangerous circumstances. So great sympathy to the family.
How do you evaluate the media coverage of his death?
Well, it's been huge, quite frankly, surprisingly large. I think the focus, though, towards mission work in general, the legitimacy of Christian missionaries going to people who are isolated around the world has been highly criticized. It's a bigger question than that. Certainly, we send people to isolated people groups, but not people groups that have had a history of dangerous interaction with people or have been actually outlawed, as in this case, with foreign intervention.
The New York Times used the term extreme missionary work. What do you make of that characterization?
A little funny, a little humorous use of the term, probably more appropriately an unfortunate use of the term. Reminds me of the term extreme sports or something like that. It seems to belittle what's happening here. You can be an extreme missionary work in your own hometown or city. You can be in danger sharing your faith in your own community, witnessing to the faith. You can feel threatened, even in a state university, giving testimony to your faith. In my own personal work, and I know of other missionaries too, only by the grace of God, you've come out of certain circumstances that were extremely dangerous. And in retrospect, you question your wisdom in engaging in certain activities or making certain trips or doing certain things in different circumstances. So the church should be, in a certain sense, living on the edge in its witness and what it does, as long as it is faithful to its confession and sound practice.
So why is it vital that missionaries be thoroughly prepared before venturing out there into the field? The story about Chow, the first ones assumed he was ill-prepared. It's now being reported that he actually did extensive preparation, regardless of whether or not his attempt to contact these people was wise or unwise. Why is it important that any missionary be thoroughly prepared before going out there, potentially dangerous or not?
Well, we take that very seriously, and we do want to prepare our missionaries. We certainly, as we call people to the office of missionary and in the pastoral office or those who are rostered workers, we want to make sure that they thoroughly understand our confession and our practice, the theology that they are going to bring to bear. And so we do an awful lot of vetting, and we make sure that they're in good health, physical health, and they can handle the rigors of international life and the challenges of being a married couple or a family in certain circumstances. We have an expansive history of studying, especially recently. I'm more familiar with that over the last 4 years or so. We're trying to take very seriously the dangers that confront our missionaries throughout the world, and we have a network of experts that work with us in advising us. But understanding your environment in which you're going to work is extremely important. It takes many, many years. It takes generations. We believe in the Office of International Missions that we're learning this relatively quickly, that in recent years we've made a special study of that, that it does take multiple generations to understand your context and your environment. You think of the Lutherans who went to work in Brazil 100 years ago, many generations of German immigrants and even pastors coming from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in the United States eventually became a district abroad of our church body. They became independent in the 1990s, but it took nearly 100 years for that church body to understand its context to the point where they could be very, very effective in sending missionaries to remote parts of their own country, and now, by the grace of God, overseas to Portuguese-speaking countries in Africa. It takes a long time, and it's not just a matter of going to missionary school or reading some books on understanding the local culture or the local history. It takes a long time, and we take it quite seriously.
Are there places in the world that, due to politics or logistics or other factors, are simply not reachable by missionaries today?
That's a difficult question. There are. There certainly are. There are places we do not want to take the risk of sending people, but we do collaborate with partner churches, and we study carefully how we can reach certain parts of the world in collaboration with either partner or emerging partner churches. In the case of John Chow, that part of the world did in fact have the North Central Island, had islands and people groups nearby, where the South Andaman Islands, for example, or that island group, there were 21% of the population there is Christian. That's a significant number of people he could have engaged with, perhaps, to more effectively measure his ability to reach those groups. But today, with political movement or the immigration and refugee movement of people, we have to ask ourselves, is it really worth the risk of putting someone in, for example, Turkey, when there are many people of that same group, perhaps even in our own neighborhood? Where I live, I'm surrounded by people from the Middle East. I have Muslim neighbors. I can reach these people quite easily in Detroit or on the East Coast or West Coast or in Europe. There, we're partnering with Zelk in reaching refugees from Iran, in beautiful work is taking place. So there are places where it's not wise. It's virtually unreachable, but there are alternative ways to carry out work within these people groups, or equipping eventually these same people groups to go back into their own homeland where we cannot effectively serve or safely serve.
Talk about the most challenging areas of the world for today's missionaries. Where would you locate those places?
Well, for the Office of International Mission, as we look at recruiting missionaries and trying to find people who can serve, we do have locations in remote Africa, the highlands of Papua New Guinea, that are difficult to recruit for. We try not to have people in isolated circumstances. We do have missionaries in places of the world where the vast, vast majority are not Christian and where there are aggressive people groups and terrorist activity. We don't put people in harm's way intentionally. We monitor it very carefully. But I would say right now for us, I would say remote rural Africa, sometimes urban Africa can be more dangerous than rural Africa. But we have plenty of difficult places where we have people living. And strangely, though, in those same places, we have missionaries that have great longevity. They fall in love with that part of the world and do very well in that environment.
Pastor Daniel McMiller is our guest, Executive Director of International Mission for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're talking about the opportunities and risks of international mission work. How would he correct the picture of a missionary as kind of a lone wolf out there in a foreign land? Please include the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. in your year-end giving. With 1 month left in 2018, we're $93,000 short of projected expenses. You can make a secure online gift at issuesetc.org. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible donation by check. make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind at the end of the year.
Hello there, I'm Juanita Wood, the owner of Ad Crucem. My dream of having a Christ-focused Christmas tree has been 18 years in the making. Our tree now brims with Christian symbols to confess the faith. We have the Cairo, Ixus, Chalice, Agnus Dei, Baptism Shell, and 100 other Christ-focused ornaments that are both beautiful and meaningful. Visit adcrucem.com to see our theologically sound greeting cards, jewelry, gifts, churchwares, banners, certificates, and ornaments. That's adcrucem.com.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Recently graduated from high school or college and looking for a chance to serve a community in need while sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? Lutheran Young Adult Corps may be for you. Lutheran Young Adult Corps provides opportunities for long-term, full-time service for 10 weeks through the summer or 10 months over the school year in places like St. Louis, Philadelphia, and Boston. Find out more about Lutheran Young Adult Corps by finding us online at lcms.org/YACORPS or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Lutheran YA Corps.
What does it mean to say that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us? This great mystery is the thread that runs throughout the December issue of The Lutheran Witness. Some articles celebrate the birth of Jesus. Others explore the theological mystery of human embodiment. Still others do both at once, providing a holiday feast of reflection on Christ's incarnation. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Are you concerned that nativity scenes aren't being displayed in public places? Why not display one at your church or your home? The Outdoor Nativity Store produces durable, affordable, and American-made outdoor nativities for Christians around the world. To view a variety of nativity sets, visit OutdoorNativityStore.com. These nativities will hold up under the harshest weather conditions, snow, ice, and wind. The Outdoor Nativity Store, outdoornativitystore.com.
This is Dr. Daniel Gard, president of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia University Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and we are committed to our Lutheran confession and heritage. Please encourage the student in your life to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
What Hope and Eden Prophesied, sung by the Contrari of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. It's playing right now on our 24/7 sacred music station, Lutheran Public Radio. Here's what Lisa wrote recently on the LPR Facebook page. She says, "I love listening on my computer at work. Keeps my mind properly focused." You can listen to Lutheran Public Radio sacred music for the Advent season at lutheranpublicradio.org and on the LPR mobile app. We're talking about the opportunities and risks of international mission work in light of the killing of missionary John Allen Chau. Pastor Daniel McMiller is our guest executive director of international mission for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Pastor McMiller, when the average Christian thinks about foreign missions, they maybe picture a lone missionary, Bible in hand, out there in a strange land. How would you correct that picture?
It's not necessary to be lone, to be alone. Certainly, we understand the Lutheran doctrine of the call, that the church calls and the church should work in concert to make sure that everything can be brought to bear in an effective way with good stewardship, with longevity, so that the work can be built upon, that which is done can be followed up upon. And whether you're going there as a lone missionary, and I did that. I went to parts of the world where I was the only person for a while. But you also try to build upon that which has been planted and bring a follow-up work and immediately start thinking of how you can establish local leadership, the office of the ministry, and a sustainable church for generations to come. It is multi-generational work, and no one person can do that. It's just not a good approach, because that work will only continue on as long as that person is there, and hardship, sickness, and many factors can take you out of the picture. So you have to be looking at a long-range plan all the time with proper support and care and the full amount of resources that are needed to plant a church and raise up a generation of leaders and develop the pastoral office in that place, and then continuing theological education for the next generation so that they can understand how the Christian church has grown and developed across history and replicate that in a faithful manner.
So in that vein, why is it vital that Lutheran missionaries bring not only the gospel, there's just the guy carrying his Bible, but they also bring with them the sacraments and establish altars, pulpits, and fonts there in the mission field, if only to allow an indigenous pastor to someday take over?
You do want to establish the office of Christ. You want the full nature of the church there. You don't want to have a body of lay people simply looking at what they personally need, but what they can bring to their children and to their neighbors and to their community and impact their environment with the full church. And that does include the sacraments, of course. One of the first things a missionary does is begin to baptize. Whether I was in Peru, Chile, or Panama in my own work, always in new places, most often what I was asked to do is baptize children. And that was an entry point for teaching what is the gospel, what Christ has done for us, what is the nature of that gospel as it's delivered through not just the sacrament of holy baptism, but through absolution, and then also the Lord's Supper, and how that is linked to the office of Christ, and how this is done in the service of the Word, and how the church has this beautiful liturgy that envelops the public use of Word and Sacrament, and how God has established the office of the ministry so that it can be faithfully done and people can be cared for not only through the divine service and through Word and Sacrament, but through pastoral visitation and in times of suffering and death and reconciliation. So baptism I've never worked in any circumstance where the sacrament of baptism was impressed upon me. We need our children baptized as soon as they learn about it. Or if you teach them about the Lord's Supper, they say, well, why can't we have this all the time, Pastor? Let's do it. Okay, how is it done among us? So if you talk about what the church has done through the centuries and what Christ has commanded his church to do and how he has promised to be there in his church and for the lost world and broken world, the people just want it all. Who's going to say, I only want a bit of it?
How important is it to train indigenous pastors as part of our mission efforts long term?
From day one, that's on your heart and mind. I've never gone into a circumstance where I haven't looked at people, young people, and said, I wonder if this young man is going to be a pastor someday. In fact, the very first class I ever taught on the mission field in an inner city shanty, slum, decrepit, condemned building in downtown Lima, there was Antonio and Christian Carreras and their mother, and I insisted I'm not coming back unless the Father Zeferino is there next time. And in that very first class, I thought, I wonder if one of these little boys is going to be a pastor someday. And so immediately as I started to teach, I had my eye on the father and on these young boys and the extended family. And I thought, I wonder who here we can groom eventually, if I can, by the grace of God, bring these people through the catechism. I wonder which of these young men is going to be a pastor. Sure enough, Antonio Carreras is now about 38 years old, and he's a faithful Lutheran pastor in Peru. So that's just the way it is. It's what you do. And he is now training his own children in the faith and the next generation of pastors in that place.
What are your thoughts on the Western world, U.S., Canada, Western Europe, etc., as a mission field?
This is the real question. Even with the death of this young man, John Allen Chow, the Lord has brought the world to our back door into our own neighborhood. And we have here in the United States all the nations of the world. If you do a simple Google search, you're going to find that there are probably about 380 languages spoken in the homes of the United States. The amount of first and second generation immigrants in the United States is staggering. And how many of them don't know the gospel and don't come to our churches? How many of our congregations are so homogeneous and so isolated from their neighborhood? How they don't reflect the neighborhood, they don't reflect the schools in which our children attend. We have such a tremendous opportunity and a tremendous need here in our own backyard. Certainly, we have to walk together as church, and that's what synod means, to walk together, to send missionaries and work with partner and emerging partner churches around the world. Those opportunities are many, but the opportunities are also here in our own environment where we can train up generations of people from many nations to go and better equip us perhaps to go to those unreached places. But the opportunities in America, Canada, Western Europe are limitless for mission work in a very, very fruitful way.
You've talked about your own work in the mission field. How would you encourage someone who's considering the idea of becoming a missionary?
Well, first of all, find out what your church is doing. Find out how we do it and how we do it well. Speak to people who have served as missionaries and the resources that can be brought to bear through your church. Study that, engage that. You can engage us in the Office of International Mission. You can talk to missionaries when they're on home service. We have new ways of communicating with people that we could bring to bear for them and connect them to missionaries. But the Lord calls through His church, and we would encourage people to find out how the church does this in a way that is sustainable, not just for the life of a certain mission society or an organization led by one person, but how does the church work in concert for multiple generations so that when you engage in this process, you have all the potential resources, how you can see if you're well-equipped for this. And certainly, it's being a missionary here in your own country as well, in the service of the church, whether you're a pastor, a deaconess, or a Lutheran school teacher, or someone serving on a committee in a local congregation who engage better your community. But through a divine call, we believe in mediated calls. Article 14 of the Augsburg Confession applies to missionary services as well.
We began by talking about the tragic story of slain missionary John Allen Chau. Is there an insight that not only professional missionaries and mission types like yourself, but ordinary Christians in their particular vocations can take from the story of John Allen Chau?
The greatest insight, I think, is to enter into this with great seriousness and great contemplation and as much education as possible, and to make use of the resources that the church has to help you evaluate what you believe the Lord is calling you to do, and then listen to the church. If the church is calling you, then you can still have opportunity to ask and measure and question and make use of the resources that are there among seasoned, mature career missionaries in that place. I don't think, with all due respect, from what I've read, John Allen Chau consulted the local Christian community. He came to that setting with some sort of expertise through some type of missionary boot camp training and indeed a great amount of experience in different parts of the world. For example, in my own case, just because I served 14 years in Peru, Chile, and Panama in a particular context does not make me an expert on the Sentinel Islands or different parts of the world. Make use of the mature insight of those who have lived there long term, have grown in their understanding of how to live and function well in that place, not only the missionaries, but then also the local church and the people who have been engaged in mature work in that place who are of the local community. In a way, mission work is exceedingly simple. We want our pastors and missionaries to be faithful to that which they would be doing in their home country. We want pastor missionaries to be good pastors on the mission field, for example. That's not rocket science for a member of our clergy roster. But at the same time, it's very nuanced and takes a long time to understand that context. And indeed, those who are going to apply what we bring best to that context are those who are from that context. No missionary can do it himself. Even if he's there 10, 15 years, he needs the local people. He needs to develop that office of the ministry there and constantly be engaged in loving, open dialogue and conversation so that the local church, as it grows in its maturity and understanding of solid theology and practice, they can educate us and bring it themselves to bear most effectively in their place.
Pastor Daniel McMiller is Executive Director of International Mission for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. You can find out more about their work at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor McMiller, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll discuss the Lord's Prayer, petition, Hallowed Be Thy Name, with Pastor Paul McCain of Concordia Publishing House, and we'll play Issues Etc., Soundbite of the Week. The Word Became Flesh is the theme of the latest edition of the Lutheran Witness magazine. It contains columns by Issues Etc. guests Matt Harrison, Gene Edward Veith, Arthur Just, and John Kleinig. The Lutheran Witness is available in print and online. Check it out at cph.org/witness, cph.org/witness. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Lutheran Federal Credit Union was formed to serve you and to serve the church. During December, when you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or when you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to their Ministry of the Month, Ministry Focus. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran FCU, good for you, good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority, they've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.